It has been a week of much news in Washington, from the Justice Department audit we just heard about in Ari Shapiro's report, to the guilty verdicts in the Lewis Libby trial, to the plan by House Democrats to set a timetable for troop withdrawal from Iraq. And to sort through all this, we're joined by our regular political analysts, columnists E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you.
And E.J., let's start with you first. The audit by the Justice Department Inspector General about these national security letters. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez today said there's no excuse for these mistakes. We heard criticism and some degree of alarm from some key Republicans. How big a problem do you think this is for the Bush administration?
I think it's a real problem. You know, I happened to be at an event earlier today where William Webster, who was former head of both the FBI and the CIA, was speaking. And he said the U.S. works because we usually get the balance between liberty and order right, more or less. But there are times when the balance goes off in one direction or the other, and especially too much in favor of order. After 9/11, we wanted to stop the people who wanted to kill us. And now it's clear that when too much discretion is granted to the authorities in that effort, that discretion is going to be abused. And so there's a healthy reaction against that now. Thank God for groups like the ACLU and ornery members of Congress and honest inspectors general. I think that public opinion is quite clear that people want the government to stop those who attack us, but they don't want the government abusing their liberties. And I think in this case, it's quite clear that the FBI stepped way over the line.
David Brooks, it's interesting because this audit also comes in a week when the Justice Department is beleaguered by the story of the U.S. attorneys who were fired en masse and charges that their dismissals were politically motivated. You do hear criticism on that as well from key Republicans. Do you think that Attorney General Gonzalez is in trouble here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think what the IG said was that it was a result of sloppiness and poor training. It seems to be a matter of competence, not ideology. I mean, it's not a question of the underlying law, the Patriot Act, being wrong, but it's the FBI apparently was not very good at putting into practice, at following the law. It was bureaucratic incompetence. And so what's frustrating is the FBI wants to do these aggressive investigations, and personally I hope they do aggressive investigations. But if they can't do it carefully, and it's going to wind up on the front page of the Washington Post and the New York Times, it's going to harm their ability to do aggressive investigations in the future, and that's sort of it's the competence issue. I will say I am glad to see Gonzalez and Mueller from the administration being the first day right up front. We were wrong. We're going to fix it, which is a break from how the administration has responded to some past scandals.
What about on the U.S. attorney question, though? There has been some alarm over how Attorney General Gonzalez responded to those firings and the reasons that have been given for those dismissals.
Right. There, I think there is more political involvement. The U.S. attorneys are an inherently political post. If you remember, the Clinton administration, I think, fired all 93 of the Republicans.
When they came in, but not in the middle of the term.
Not when they went out. And here they fired a series on December 7th. And there was clearly some political element there. And again, it's just frustrating because you fix the law, you fix the Patriot Act, you think you've got things where you can get some credibility for our law enforcement, and then to politicize it, you just undermine everything that you yourself are trying to do.
Let's turn to the House Democrats' plan to link funding of the Iraq War to a timetable for troop withdrawal, benchmarks for the Iraqi government. E.J. Dionne, do you think fissures among Democrats are just too deep to bridge?
Well, you know, big news, Democrats are more diverse than Republicans ideologically, and they are less lockstep than Republicans. And that's been very clear. The Democrats have a large caucus, about 70 members, who want to get out as quickly as possible. They've got another 50 members on the other end out of their 230 who are more moderate or even moderately conservative. So this was a very hard thing to broker. I think there's a short term here and a long term. The short term is very messy. The Democrats had this fight pretty much out front. Everybody saw it. The bill they put together was very complicated. That's a short-term problem for them. Long-term, I think the problem comes back to the administration, because where they ended up poses a very, very clear choice. The Democrats are saying, we think the United States should be out of Iraq in 12 to 18 months, more or less. And they are putting the Republicans in a position of being in favor of an open-ended commitment. And so I think the more this debate advances, the more it's framed as, do you want to get out of there at some point, or do you think we should be there for an indeterminate amount of time? Now, a lot depends, as we always say, on what happens in Iraq. But I wouldn't bet on things looking so great in Iraq in 6 or 8 months that the idea that we should get out at some point becomes more and more popular, not less popular.
David Brooks, how do you see it?
Well, I think it has to do with the polls here. It has nothing to do with Iraq. Whether we get out at the end of 2007 or 2008, maybe that'll be a good idea. We'll know in 2007 or 2008. I suspect we'll know if the surge works by the end of the summer, and which will render all this abstract debate about Iraq irrelevant. To me, you take a look at what's actually happening on the ground. I'm not a huge supporter of the search, but you take a look at what's happening with the oil law, which they passed, and the finance ministry, the interior ministry, the purging of the health ministry, what's happening in Anbar. It seems to me the surge is producing some level of slight improvement. And to give up hope now and have some abstract debate which doesn't take the facts on the ground into account seems to me strictly political. And we will know by August or September whether the surge is working. And then I suspect most Republicans will want to get out if it doesn't work.
Right. No, but that's why I'm saying that I think the more this goes on, the more this framing of the debate is a really honest framing of the debate. Because I think there are those who'd say, if this doesn't work, well, we will try something else, who just don't want to say that we're going to end the American commitment until things look really splendid. And I don't think things are ever going to look really splendid in Iraq.
I just wish I would hear Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi say, here are the facts on the ground. Here is what we're responding to. What I hear them say is they're responding to the polls, and that's fair enough. But let's have an Iraq policy that has something to do with Iraq.
They're not responding to the polls. They're responding to a position that says we shouldn't have gone in for many of them, and we should get out sooner than the administration wants to.
I don't want to let the conversation end without getting to the Lewis Libby verdict. Guilty on 4 counts of perjury and obstructing justice. E.J. Dionne, remaining questions for you coming out of the trial?
Well, I think the remaining questions are, boy, would I like to know more about how this was handled inside the administration. We learned a lot from the trial about Dick Cheney jotting those notes in the side and really setting into motion this whole machine to discredit Joe Wilson, who wrote that famous op-ed piece. I wish they had put as much attention into planning the war in Iraq as they did to going after Joe Wilson. So I would like to know what's happening in the administration. And you're going to have the discussion for the next year and a half over whether Libby should be pardoned. And I must say, I find it astonishing that conservatives who spoke so much about the importance of the rule of law, almost as soon as this very conscientious jury made its decision, they were saying, no, this is a terrible case. The law didn't go the way we wanted to, so let's have the president override it.
David Brooks, you wrote that this trial aroused profound sadness for you. What did you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I accept that Libby is guilty. I don't accept that he's not a good guy. I still think he was basically a decent guy who was too loyal, was caught up in the moment. And I do think this should never have been brought. I mean, Patrick Fitzgerald knew on the first day he took office that it was Armitage and not Libby and not Rove and not Cheney who was the primary leaker. And for 2 years, he pursued this case in sort of a fishing expedition to see who would perjure themselves. Libby, I gather, did. But this is a case of a prosecutor running far ahead of where the facts and where the underlying crime should have taken him.
Knowing he was guilty, still shouldn't have pursued the case, you're saying?
Well, no, I think there has to be a crime. I think when he knew that Armitage was the leaker, which he knew on day one,
he was lied to over and over, David.
We've got to end it there. Thanks to you both, David Brooks of The New York Times, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post.